Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
The war is over. The Kilrathi invaders obliterated by the Confederation. Now peace and prosperity rule. But the wounds of battle are slow to heal, and a frightening new enemy is born.
And now they attack us?
Fueled by the horrors of war, a deranged human mind unleashes terror upon the innocent.
You're gonna wish you never met me.
Good Lord.
Oh, you're gonna wish you...
Greetings and welcome to Play Retro. We talk about old video games here on Play Retro, and I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson. And them sure nice graphics in 1990. How come my ship sucks so bad? Time to kill the lion-headed people once and for all.
Yes, and I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I think this cat wants to fight. Well, come on, you giant bipedal Roman Thundercat-looking puppet snarf. Let's space rumble. Hold on, let me insert disc 2 with FMV Mark Hamill. We about to get all 480p up in this joint. And disintegration. No, wait. Disintegration is not for me, Scott.
No.
Is the giant lion puppet.
Yeah, that's Tolkien. Right. Hamill, Gimli, bad guy Biff. From Star Trek Generations. Can't think of his name all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. He's in it. Biff is in it for sure. And yep. Then we also have... I could have said his name if you hadn't have said the other thing.
It's probably the guy. It's somebody from like the Police Academy or something, right? Like
Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, Malcolm McDowell's his name. Yeah, yeah. That's who I was.
Oh, and don't forget about Ginger Lynn, the adult star, and the voice of Tim Curry.
Right, until they got to 4 or whatever it was, and then they dumped everybody and had nothing but like C-list people that I've never heard of.
Oh, I think that was Prophecy, wasn't it? Because 4 was actually a continuation, and then Wing Commander Prophecy, was the one that was the one that went direct to video.
Yeah, that looked real
which
bad.
Which is what it looked like to me.
It looked horrible. Everything was a porn setup in that thing that never paid off. It's real bad. But anyway, we're going to talk about Wing Commander and its legacy today, starting in 90, working its way, well... I may even
work its way into the later 90s.
into our lives, but I may bring up where it ended up. Like Star Citizen doesn't exist without
it's still going, right? It's still sort of kind of going.
Well, people like Wing Commander, but Star Citizen is basically what he envisioned for Wing Commander all those years later. Yeah. And you know, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about did he get there? Is Wing Commander there?
Did Chris Roberts get to where he was going?
Yeah, I think he might have sort of gotten there. He's at least gotten to a place where a lot of people give him money without a game being done yet.
Right. Like Chris Roberts guy? I love that guy. Let's give him some money.
We'll give him some money because, you know, he's got a legacy, and today's a lot about that legacy. So we'll talk about it. So stick around for that. Before we get into it, though, I just wanted to share a sad moment that also was good.
Sad moments. Okay.
The other night I could not sleep to save my life. 2:00 in the morning, I'm freaking wide awake. I can't do it. And I don't want to watch some TV show, and I don't want to do anything. So what I did is I grabbed my Steam Deck and I played Pac-Man for 2 hours. What? Yep.
You play Pac-Man for 2 hours?
I did.
Now,
I played
which one? Like
four.
Championship Edition or just
good old
flat
fashioned
old plain?
Classic Pac-Man.
Classic. Yep. Wow.
I played it for 2 hours. 4 o'clock rolled around. I was able to go back to sleep. Got up at 7. Felt fine.
For those who don't know, Scott has a wonderful wife, and her name is Kim, and she was probably going, oh, my God, if I hear Wonka, Wonka, Wonka one more time.
Yeah. She slept, as best I could tell, she slept through it. And I asked her after, I said, did you hear me at all last night? She goes, no, what were you doing? And I said,
I was having the weirdest dreams.
Yeah, it was really weird. I was dreaming about eating dots.
I was being chased by ghosts,
yeah,
and I was eating rice pellets. It was weird dream.
Yeah, yeah. But and then I said, oh, that's weird. I don't know what would have caused that. Anyway, see you later. And I ran away. But anyway, I had earphones. What am I, 1,000 years old? The freaking earbuds.
I know, right? I had me some of those brown library style.
Remember those? Oh, my gosh. Those were terrible.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like you were taking a hearing test. No, even worse was the green one, the green metal ones that were so super heavy. You know what I'm talking about?
Also
like,
bad.
That texture stuff on them. They were made out of like pure metal, the whole thing.
Yeah, they were horrible. Growing up in the 80s with libraries,
neck damage.
Everyone out there who's listening, you know what we're talking about. Okay.
They kind of reminded me of like maybe leftover military products, maybe. That's where they came from.
Like, what do they call that? The army surplus? That's what
it is. The army surplus. Yeah, that's it. The army surplus store. That sounds about right for my school.
I used to love going there. I'd go there right now if I knew where one was. Those are cool.
Oh, yeah.
Those are cool, man. They got like helmet shit and like grenades that don't work and stuff. It's cool.
They get slightly used helmets with holes in them. It's sweet.
I'm all in on that. All right, Brian, what did you get up to while you were sleeping fine?
I was hoping to complete my Patreon video this past weekend. Didn't quite get there, but I did get, because I had some trouble with my PLA printing that I wanted to do, but I finally actually did get some PET printing in. That's a little different filament I use in my 3D printer. So we've been talking about this spinner that I got. It's a GRS spinner with a wheel, and I'm working on this case for it, and I wanted to put a little bit of air in there, so I printed out this orange with a little honeycomb pattern on the top, and it looks pretty good, and it's very functional. So far, I'm still working on some hinges for the backside, doing that in Blender 3D. And as soon as I get that done, I'm hoping this weekend, even though I did get a resin printer. So
did it get hot in there or something?
Surely I won't get sidetracked. Well, it was getting a little bit hot on this 12-in-1, but I think something else was going on. I don't think it was supposed to be getting hot when I did some research. So I may have something else going on. So I'm going to look at that. But I also wanted to make sure, just in case. I was like, well, in case I don't want to like totally close it up. Especially if it's getting heat in there. But like I said, maybe I had something wrong. Maybe I had something in the wrong spot.
You know how great it is that Brian was driven into 3D printer world because of retro gaming? That's what put him
in. I didn't see it coming. Uh-uh. I didn't see it. I was like, oh, I need a bunch of... I started ordering stupid display stands off Etsy. And I'm like, well, for this price, I could just get a 3D printer and do it myself.
Yeah.
Because if you're just ordering one or two... Like most retro gamers, it's fine. You don't need a 3D printer. But when you start getting into 20 and 30 cases, you're like, okay.
Yeah, may as well do it yourself, right?
Yeah, it's starting to get expensive, and they don't always have what I'm looking for, and I want more control over it. I want to do some cool stuff, so I got to do that. Also, this week really killed me with the Wing Commander, because we're back into DOS games again.
Oh, yeah.
And my DOS setup is, we'll talk more about it during this during the breakdown, how I had experience with each one of these. But essentially, I had to do a lot of configuring for DOS this week. And thanks to a couple of people, especially Ducros, who came in and watched me stream some of these games this past week, gave me a bunch of great tips on Wing Commander. Also brought my attention to ExoDOS, which is this project where they've got like 1,000 DOS games that they're making, getting to run on different, very specific DOS platforms, like my Mr. FPGA, which the hardware emulation has a DOS version, and there's an ExoDOS project for that. And all that stuff is just already done for me. Manuals, ROMs, everything is just in there already. And all I got to do is do a little bit of configuration. Took me like 30 minutes or so. I was able to make it run, and it looks good. And so I'm pretty excited. I spent a lot of time, though, before I got the hot tip, working on DOS in RetroArch using Pure DOS, and also purchasing some of these games on Good Old Games, and we'll talk about that as well. On
the Good Old Game stuff runs pretty well, I've found. It's not bad.
It's according. Some of them are DOS box, and some of them are configured well, and some of them are configured not as well. But generally, it's a good experience. Same with Steam.
Yeah, Steam does a pretty good job, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing we can run these games at all after all this time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually been a couple of initiatives. There's we're going to get into it in a second, but Wing Commander has one of the most active communities I have seen of any retro game we have played. People are still doing it. If you go to WCNews.com, there is literally content being created every day. WCNews.com. And a lot of the stuff I learned about was, oh my God, it's crazy.
They wanted, here's what they wanted. What Wing Commander fans wanted was when Origin Systems was bought by Electronic Arts.
Yes.
They felt like, guys, here's our chance. We're getting bought by a huge publisher developer. Yes. And they're going to give us all the backing we need to really go for it. We're going to make the next generation of one of these games. And they kind of did with Freelancer. What was the other one?
What's the other one? Freelancer. Privateer.
Privateer. Those are amazing games. And really did seem like, wow, we're on the cusp of the next thing. And then, poof, magical
it's
shit show.
It's almost like maybe the market was just a little bit too busy with stuff. Just a little bit too much of this stuff.
The space sim, shooter sim stuff had fallen off a bit. Shooters were starting to take over, especially in the 3D era. But that fan base never left. They were like, man.
No.
And I'm telling you, they're the ones that are spending $3,000 on fake ships. For Star Citizen, it's happening.
Dude,
those are those people.
They've sucked me in because I had never played a Wing Commander game. No, I had seen Wing Commander. I have friends who've played it, and I've watched them play it, like the old school Twitch, where you'd sit in somebody's, you know, behind somebody while they're playing on the computer, and go, "Oh, cool!" And they show you stuff, and you know, it's like some of it's like really mind blowing. Other things, like, I don't want to learn how to do that.
You throw you throw pennies in their lap while they're playing, kind of like tips or
No, I threw them directly at the back of their heads.
Oh, perfect.
So it's like, we're gonna do something else. We're gonna play some Sid Meier's Pirates or something already. Come on, man! Yeah. I'm just sitting back here watching you play this game. Come on, let's play.
You should walk in and go, "Get good, noob," and then run. Should do that. Well, that's interesting. I want to see more about this ExoDOS as you fiddle with it. Because I find that DOS stuff such a headache, I kind of avoid it. I'm like,
and if you want to, if you just want to be lazy, you can. They got stuff. I don't know all the legalities of this. We're not here to give you legal advice or anything. We just report on what we see out in the wild. And if you go to retro-exo.com, there is a product you can purchase, like a CD or something, that has all the DOS games in it. Like, I think it's either. What is it, like $50 or something like that one time or something? I mean, it's not cheap, but the amount of stuff they have in this thing is outrageous. The legalities of it, I can't tell you that. I can't. You got to make your own decisions about this. I don't even know where in the world this is coming from. I don't even know if where they're selling these things.
Yeah.
If it's a big deal, and I don't know where you live. So anyway,
What if it's a little tiny room on a oil rig somewhere out in the Pacific? It's just like one guy in a room going, "Well, nobody can touch me here. I'm free from the law." And he's just putting out shit. You don't know.
Right. He's a real pirate. He's a literal pirate.
Yeah. He might be. Yar, he says when he says that.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can also download these things. But it's like, I think the Project Full, if you download the full thing off torrents, I think it's like 500 gigabytes worth. I was like, I didn't even know there was 500 gigabytes worth of DOS games.
No, that seems crazy to me. That's insane.
But yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy.
All right. Well, watch for that. And more, but for now, this.
Shall we play a game?
We surely will. That game will be the Wing Commander and the Wing Commander follow-ups. The sequels, really, all the way up until, let's say, Wing Commander Armada, maybe.
Yeah. Well, want to talk about Armada? Yeah, I do want to talk about it.
Yeah, I do too.
I never played that one.
But also, 90 Super Wing Commander on the 3DO is a big entry point for me. That came out in 94 as well. So it's about 4 years of Wing Commander goodness, which, you know, many people think is the high point of all of it. And we'll discuss whether that's true or not. All right, let's get to Wing Commander first. It's a bit of the opener and some of the sound from that game. Check it out. I I mean, if you had a MIDI card, this is what you got. Listen to this. This is when you're getting missions. Oh, yeah.
I love it.
So you're like in a bar talking to dudes, and they're giving you missions, yeah. And everyone's just kind of standing around drinking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, unless you're playing the SNES version, in which case it's a officer's club, and everybody's not drinking.
Nobody's drinking in the officer's club, exactly. Not on Nintendo.
Right, well, they're drinking soda or something like that is, I think, the rub.
That was a good version of that game, though.
It was a valiant attempt. I don't know if I would go. I wouldn't say, hey, you got some choices. How you want to play Wing Commander from 1990? Do you want to fire up your 386 and stick in your 5 1/4 floppies, or do you want to find that SNES cart and load it up? There's concessions you have to make if you're doing the SNES version, like all those wonderful sprites.
Yeah,
I think there's like 30 sprites per ship or something when you're playing on the PC, but then there's only like 8 or something on the SNES. So you're definitely going to notice a difference. You can only fight one ship at a time on the SNES because of how things are scrolling towards you, whereas the PC, you can fight more.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's true. No, the PC version was mind-blowing at the time. This thing had like 32-bit graphics, had the space combat and management stuff, which would not... at the time was like unbelievably new. Like nobody was doing that stuff with anything like this game. These branching story paths.
We know there were other games that did it.
Yeah.
But this was the one of the most popular games that a lot of people experienced with that really just nailed it.
How come the Amiga version's not really well thought of? And that surprised me because I thought it would at least equal what the PC was doing.
The Amiga 500, is that just a 16-bit system? It wasn't able to handle this. This is the thing that all the Wing Commanders will find out today were process pushers. That's the origin was kind of like that. They were like, hey, we know that the technology is heading this way. We're going to hedge our bets and believe in the technology, and so we're going to go ahead and start building our game around upcoming technology. Yeah,
they weren't trying to capture all the existing configurations. Their goal was to press the envelope pretty freaking hard. And I remember at the time, I worked for a computer company at the time, and I remember people saying, oh shoot, I gotta upgrade and get this 486 DX4 whatever. I can't handle my 386 DX SX 33 whatever, won't work,
right?
And I don't have enough RAM, and you know, it's all this stuff.
Won't work. Yep. It was a fun time, and I've heard from a lot of people this past week that had similar stories. With I had this piece of equipment, and 1990, 89, 90, when this game came out, they switched platforms specifically for this game. Wing Commander was having people go, "Oh, I'm mostly a console gamer." And I'm going to go and get this PC game. You've convinced me this is the future. So it was, this thing was sell. Intel needs to throw some money at Origins or EA. No, they don't. They don't need to spend them anymore.
Well, nobody, Origins basically got poo-pooed and shelved and all the work that they were doing with it. And they ended up not doing anything with the Wing Commander series really after that much. They did a couple of them, but they ended up, using the name for their stupid PC launcher.
That cracks me up every time I see it. I'm like, oh, y'all have relegated Origin to a launcher.
It's so dumb. It's so embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. Whose idea?
Right.
Like, who can we pin that on? That's just gross.
It's just terrible. It's such a thumb. It's such a place that had so many great programmers come and go. It was Origin System itself was apparently just a bed of great ideas from this guy we're talking about who made this game, Chris Roberts, who was only like 18 at the time, 19.
Yeah. Kind of a wunderkind.
He was born like a year before you, Scott, or something like that.
He was a young dude at the time, and he was way ahead of his time, clearly.
Oh yeah.
And now he's a financial wizard with no game to show for it. I gotta figure out where his head's at now, but I can't quite figure it out.
Well, you know, just because you're a good game developer or come up with great ideas doesn't necessarily mean you're good with finances. And so I don't know who should be managing that, but probably
not him.
maybe not him. I don't know.
I just want to see Star Citizen be a proper video game and come out.
Everybody wants to see.
Yeah, just be a game. Come out and be a game.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's playable. I know people are playing it, but it's like not even, they don't even consider it alpha. It's like, and this has been how many years? It's pretty weird, yeah. Man. It's pretty weird.
This first Wing Commander really blew my mind because, like I said, I hadn't seen it since I was in the 90s when my friend would play this game. And looking at it now, I was like, holy hell, this is a game from the 90s, yeah. Like early 90s, because this pixel art is just so rich. You have these shots where you're in the cockpit, and it's so much fun to look at. You see the pilot's legs, and, you know, you got the joystick right in the middle, which, by the way, I didn't get my flight stick out, but I wanted to, and I really should have. I ended up playing this with just a 360 controller and then my PS5 controller, which I hooked up to my Mr. FPGA. Yeah. But I really feel like this would be the best with a flight stick and keyboard. You can't get away with just a flight stick or just a controller hardly, because this thing has a whole keyboard layout. And really, it was kind of inspiring my mind to go, you know what I need to do? I need to 3D print me some keycaps and make a little small keyboard with nothing but like interface buttons that look like the control deck of this stupid Wing Commander. And I'm like, stop it, Brian.
Yep.
You're getting sucked into the Wing Commander world.
Yeah, you're going to be, you're never going to leave WC.com, whatever it is.
WCnews.com. Did you ever have the 5 1/4 floppies when this game came out? Or was it something that you only had it on the up?
Well, I only had my original, the only time I owned the game was for the 3DO. Right. But I saw it being played all the time at the place I worked. I saw it on people's SNESs. Like, I know the game existed in those forms, but for whatever reason, I never got into it. And somebody gifted me that and said, hey, you should play this. This is supposed to be the ultimate. You got a 3DO for who knows why, so why not? And I did. But that part of the reason it was on 3DO is EA was a huge backer of 3DO, because 3DO was the...
They wanted that thing to win.
Well, it was the brainchild of freaking... the founder of EA, what's his name?
Plus they had burned all their bridges with other places, and they were getting sick of making bad deals with people.
Yeah.
So they was like, we'll just do our own, you know, we'll get involved with our own people.
Yeah, we'll do our own thing and do our stuff. Somebody today told me that some of their favorite face sprites in a video game are in Wing Commander because they are 100% symmetrical with the exception of blonde mustache guy. Everybody else, right down the middle, baby.
They are perfectly symmetrical right down the middle. Everybody's features are very profound, and just watching these guys, everything. If you haven't played, if you're forgetting the first one didn't have all the speech synthesis, which you would see in 2 and beyond. Mm-hmm. You just had great MIDI music, like you said, and dialogue. And it was very wordy.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, but lots of story.
It was all a lot of fun, and there's so much information that's being passed on in casual dialogue. And this is what makes this game stand out so much to me, is the level of immersion that you get with this stupid game. Because if you got the 5 1/4 floppies, you would have purchased this thing in a box set, and you would have gotten a magazine that is not a manual. It is an actual magazine from In-World, In-World Wing Commander. And it's like, suddenly it's in your hands. And you learn all this background information about who you're fighting, the Kilrathi, who are a bunch of cats, and the humans. And it's the year 26, whatever. What is the year? It's far, far in the future. And you're having these fights with... We all knew this was coming. We all knew that eventually we would have to fight the cats. It was definitely coming.
KT Data in the chat says he misses manuals, PDFs, and stuff online. Doesn't work the same. I agree 100%, man. I would get a game. Right. I would come home. I would go sit on that toilet for hours reading that thing.
getting the hemorrhoids.
Yep.
But it came with blueprints of all the ships, man. If you were into space anything or role-playing games, anything like that in the 90s, this wasn't necessarily a role-playing game other than very basic, but still, you get your ships, and it would have all the stats. If you were a stats junkie, you had all the stats on the blueprints, what ships you would be you could possibly be in, and all the information was important, because once you get into the actual game, there's no hand-holding. So you have to get all of your information from dialogue, from this magazine that kind of doubles as a manual, and also copy protection, as well as the blueprint. If you had the 5 1/4 floppies from the original, it was that time. It was the 90s. You had to, you know, they would ask you a question when you start the game up. and it would be some kind of numeric value that you'd have to go locate, like, you know, what's the range of Hornet's laser, and you had to go look up and find the exact number and type it in before you could play the game. Yeah. So this game is a real hands-on type of game that just it took that level of immersion that's just kind of hard to replicate.
I agree.
In today's market,
they try to do it again 1 year later with this.
How goes the war against the humans?
The Terran carrier Tigus Claw tried to attack us here at Katithric Mang, but my stealth fight has destroyed it, and soon we will demolish the rest of their fleet.
Speak of your plans, not of your toys. Tell me how you will defeat the Terrans.
Yes, my Emperor. Without the Tigus Claw to defend them,
that's basically it. It's
a couple of cats.
The Kill Rathies are so stupid, man. Look, I got nothing good to. I have nothing bad to say about Wing Commander as a series, but I think those designs for those villains are straight up poopy pants. And even though in two they have cool animation when they're talking, when they get their faces going, I dig that. But why you got cat people in space? That never felt like space to me. That felt dumb to me.
So you are right in the context of 2023. I was thinking about this past week. I was like, oh, this is ridiculous. This is so stupid to have a bunch of cat people in space. Who thinks of this stuff? And I'm like, wait, we just came off training all of these kids to love things like Thundercats, which is this bipedal cats, you know what I mean? Big cats. We had all the 80s was all of this weird mixed match of different things.
Anthropomorphic looking animal people. I know.
Roles. It was our time in America to try to figure out if we could get anime rolling here in the US. It didn't take off like it did in Japan. But yeah, all that stuff, furries, all that kind of stuff upcoming. It seems weird now. But in the context of 90, I think it would kind of work.
90, 91, yeah. I remember seeing it, though, and going, ugh, these really were fighting cats? Like, what is that about? Like, I just wanted aliens then. I wanted Star Trek-y-looking aliens, and instead I got these furry dudes, and it just bugged me.
They feel kind of like Klingonish, though, if that makes sense, because they talk about honor and that kind of stuff. And it's kind of what you would think about pride, you know, and... You know, that's how these big cats operate. And it's like, you know, there's no fooling around out in the, you know, in the deepness of space. It's time to get real.
It was 100%. You're right. It was 100% Klingon-y. You know, they were going for that warlike, but honorable, but not. But, you know, all that. That's what they were doing.
Warriors.
They were riffing on
warriors.
Yeah. And I guess that made it unique. I don't know. For me, it was just like I could not take them seriously. The entire series. And when they went with FMV and things got full motion video down the line, even worse, man. Guys walking around with freaking heads of cats in their robes going, we got to stop the Terrans. We're cat people, right? Yeah. Like, it sucked.
I laughed out loud the first time I saw the FMV stuff for the cats in there. Because it's not puppets. It kind of is. It's people. Imagine more like Planet of the Apes. Yeah. It's like Planet of the Apes type stuff, but, you know,
you're not wrong.
A little more furry.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, first time I saw it, I was like, I laughed out loud. But then after a couple of minutes, I totally put all that behind me and I just kind of went with it. And I kind of dug it. It's weird that it works like that.
Well, here's the thing I like about 2 a lot. It added companions, which are now a staple in games like this. So even if you play a bunch of games today that are, you know, modern even, it is almost like sacrilegious to not include a wingman in your space game.
No, you had wingman in the first one.
Did the first one happen? I didn't think you did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was a big deal. It's actually a bigger deal.
I thought
it was only two.
I thought that was introduced in 2. I don't know why I thought that.
Mm-mm. No, because you thought, two. So there's 2 people involved. No, there was actually it's even more harsh in the first one because you could actually make dialogue choices or make choices that would annoy pilots and they wouldn't be available to you or would not fight as hard for you when you're out in the field. So when you hit the little command button to try to get your wingman to kind of help you out, they may be a little more reluctant. It may make it harder for you to win, lose battle by battle. So yes, very important. Second one, not so much. The story was was the top priority. And so that you couldn't just kill off, you couldn't randomly accidentally kill a character.
Maybe I'm mixing them both up, because you know what? The one thing I notice about it is they're all, the first two games, combat wise, they look almost identical. There's not a huge jump.
Yeah, they're very close. Yeah.
Everything really off, cool stuff. Everything outside of that, huge upgrade. Like the dialogue, the voice. Here's some voice right now, actually, this lady. Let's see if we can get her. Oh, no, they didn't voice all of it. Some of it's just text. But it's what they did use anyway. Obviously, that was a big deal, but it's way more colorful. It feels like this game's, I don't know, kind of ahead of itself in this regard, the presentation.
Yes.
But then the play, you were like, okay, this is Wing Commander more. Get more of that. And then a year later, that's fine. It's a year.
Yeah, it's a year. I really liked how they did this, too. The voices could be very problematic, especially today. Not so much in the early 90s, but in the first one, you had written dialogue that was written in stereotypical language. So if anybody was doing a bad impression of a particular race, that's on you. But in part two, they actually had spoken dialogue. And so it was like, ooh, this is definitely early 90s. You would probably not want to do that today. That would be a bad idea.
Yeah. And some of that dialogue, dude, just listen to that again.
How goes the war against the humans?
I mean, these are devs in the room. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. I love the Kilrathi voices, though. They're really good.
They're not
but
bad.
But this is, this is typical of a lot of sci-fi. Of any time you have, it's international. That's what this was. This was like, I think as Chris Roberts described it, as World War II in space. So you're in a place where in World War II, we had a lot of times where we'd have troops that would be, you know, blended together with different, from different countries and things. So that's kind of where they went here too. Right. That's one of the things I love about sci-fi, just introducing all those people. Just if you can do it respectfully, it's really good.
Great in sci-fi, like Star Trek always does, is you can ask hard questions, but do it in this package so that the hard questions are not impeded by current day hangups, you know?
Yes.
So you can discuss these issues. And there's tons of examples of this, but, you know, Star Trek's a great one. You know, Star Trek always dealt with issues that we had to deal with as people, especially things around the time that the show was made. And did it in a way that was palatable by everybody, because you weren't forcing it down somebody's throat, or you weren't like saying, you know, we have race problems. Instead, you say, hey, way in the future, Kirk and Kirk and Uhura kissed. And now you got to go,
that's not even the most. That was the one that was the most real, had the most impact. The most hilarious Star Trek episode of the black white race was when they literally had two races, like Twix bars. One had the left black and one had the right black.
I love those guys.
And vice versa with the white.
Yeah.
And I thought that, I was like, oh, geez, Star Trek, why don't you just beat us over the head with that one? Geez, what are you trying to say?
Yeah, that was a funny one.
Can't decrypt your...
Yeah. But they, you know, that's what Trek has always done. I think any good sci-fi and Star Wars to some effect, which is a little more arcadey, you know.
Yes.
They still get to do that as well. And Wing Commander did that. I agree. The stories were deep and good. I'd say the first game's story was a little more depthy than two. And two, the money was definitely spent on presentation more than like branching storylines and stuff.
Right. Yeah. The branching storylines were much more important than the first one. The second one, it had a smaller story because they probably did this by design. The story was smaller, but it was more, everybody probably got that story. Like in the Wing Commander 1, you could go back and play it today, and you could have played it for however many hours back in the day, and you could get in and play and have a totally different experience. Fly with pilot you've never flown with before, because there is permadeath in this, by the way.
Yeah.
So like if you or one of your pilots, the co-pilots, dies, that's it. They're dead. They're dead, which is hilarious, by the way. I'd love trying to figure out names to name my pilot, so it'd be hilarious when they have the after you die, they have like the little funeral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they fire lasers off.
Yep.
And so we will miss dumbass
Colonel,
stuff like that. Colonel dumbass.
Yeah.
And so that was always fun to do for
me. I agree. It's a really cool couple of games, I think. And
the
by
the way, when you killed the Kilrathi, which is what you're supposed to do.
Stupid name, by the way. Can we put that out there? Kilrathi.
I like the Kilrathi.
Stupid.
I like. But I do. And this one, since we can hear, since there's a lot of dialogue in when you're talking to people, like in the bars and stuff, and then there's more dialogue when you're getting out in the fights and stuff. And one of the things the Kilrathi do is they have like these death cries and stuff. So they may say something smart like, "You can't defeat me." It's just this great.
That stuff is good.
I love that kind
of
crap.
Big fan. Big fan in all games and movies, right, and television. I like it when people do dumb death cries. All right. Then 3 came around the corner and sounded a bit like this.
"Peace. Have we ever known anything like that, Paladin?"
"Not for a long time, laddie."
"First the Tiger's Claw, now this."
"Enough. You are not to blame for either."
"Some would disagree. This is Colonel Christopher Blair. Report to Admiral Tallwyn. The wreckage of the Concordia has been located on Vespis off the Mistral Coast. Evaluation: total loss."
Just like Corvette Summer.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill talking to John Rhys Davies right there. Paladin, yep, who you'd seen many times before. And I'm glad they got John Rhys Davies.
No, this is all a good get. I don't know how they actually did it. Like, we may not have thought of Mark Hamill as having much of a career in the 90s, because we really didn't. He was doing cartoon voices and this sort of stuff. He's not the legend that he is today. We kind of had written him off culturally. And this is about the only place you were going to get him. And then to have this guy show up, who at the time I only knew him from Sliders and Indiana Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Me too.
So Sala from Indiana Jones and that Slider show. And so this was like, oh, okay, that guy. And I didn't know he would be Gimli one day. But it's weird to see those two standing there at the top of that fake ridge with that horrible green screen bullshit happening out in front of them doing that.
Do you know what happens when you ink a deal with EA when your name is Origins and then you have $4 million to mess around with, which was the most money of any video game at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You fill your dreams. You go get John Rhys Davies and you go get Mark Hamill to play your lead there, Christopher Blair, who finally had a name.
Yeah.
Finally had a name in
Christopher Blair instead of just the protagonist of the game.
Right, just that guy.
Malcolm McDowell and Biff are also there. And you mentioned Ginger Lynn. She's an adult star, and the voice of Tim Curry. He was a Kilrathi thing, right?
I believe he was Kilrathi, and the adult film star Ginger Lynn. This was a time when she was trying to get out of the adult film industry and into something serious. So that's how much money you had right here. You had $4 million to purchase these types of actors during the early, the early mid '90s, and I loved it. I think they did a good job. It's terrible.
It's cornball as hell, but FMV was a big deal, and everybody was trying to get in on that. And so this is a good attempt as any of them,
I remember hearing about this project and just going, no, that's dumb, because this was a time when you were getting movies that were on CDs.
Yeah.
You were just like, no, this doesn't look good, because the compression's not good. We haven't made it to DVDs yet, so we're still using CDs for video, and that stuff is highly compressed. And a lot of this stuff was shot with 35 mil. I think it was actually shot in some kind of digital or something.
Oh, it was, digital. Yeah. Like the version I'm showing the chat room right now, you may be thinking, oh, this isn't bad for 93 or whatever.
Right.
91, rather.
Bunch of green screen sets.
Yeah, but you know what that is? This is an AI update version of it. This is Heart of the Tiger, which is Wing Commander 3, remastered AI update. So everything you're looking at here is a remastered 1080p print of what used to be like postage stamp sized nothing.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible. And the deeper you dive into ports for this thing, the smaller it got, because you were using, I think you had to get a Pentium for this one. I think, is that right? I think you had to have either. I think we were in Pentium town. The consoles just weren't rocking that kind of power at this point. So
no, we weren't there yet. But I mean, look at these guys doing their thing with
Malcolm McDowell.
It's the most contrasty background stuff in the history of green screen. But given the original presentation of the video, it was fine. It looked fine.
And if you go in knowing what you're looking at, Mark Hamill was so dour in this performance too. But he was headed towards doing some amazing voice work and I'm glad he explored this part of his character.
Well, by now he was already doing the Joker on the Batman.
Was he already doing Joker Part 94? I was trying to remember that earlier. I was like, was he doing voice work already?
At the very least, recording it, if not already out.
Right.
A lot of that. And I think he was doing some stuff before as well.
You can hear that here, though. You can really hear it. And, oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
For sure. No, this stuff's worth seeing on its own. If you ever want to just go watch the Wing Commander 3 story without all the gameplay in between, highly recommend it.
it's about 8 hours worth of content, if I remember correctly. $4 million budget. Is it 8 hours? It's something like that. And I would say this. If I was doing this and I had never played Wing Commander, I'd probably play it one or two.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to miss out. The story is... Once you get deeper into Wing Commander, the story becomes important. But if you're just looking for the experience, you probably could play one or two. You could actually just go to YouTube and watch these FMVs because the gameplay isn't that much different. You are looking at 3D models now for your shooting, but it's really early 3D stuff, and it's not really all that interesting, in my opinion, for the combat. It's okay, but I don't think you're going to be like, you're not going to be like, oh, this is what it was all about. I think that kind of is kind of lackluster once we get to this point.
Yeah, the 3D stuff has the same suffrage that all 3D at the time was going through, which this all looks like garbage.
Right.
And
it's fine, but look at those sprites, fighting sprites on screen. That is hilarious, and I think you should experience that.
I agree.
This is not hilarious. This is just, an okay.
This is a stepping stone toward where we were going to head to. And it was about to get a lot better in the next 5 years.
The FMV part, though,
you
got to see it.
Oh, you got to see it. You got to watch these. You got to see these Kilrathi guys walking around. See if I can find
you will literally laugh out loud the first time you see the Kilrathi. And you don't have to wait long. It's like right at the beginning of Heart of the Tiger. It is. Yeah.
Look at this dude.
You got a couple of guys.
That's the guy. Look at that. And he's just like a big old Wookiee looking.
Yeah. Imagine somebody taking... Yeah, it's exactly like a Wookiee. Just imagine somebody coming across a stuffed lion head on a wall and taking it off and putting it on their head. It's just like that. And their mouths are fully articulated.
Yeah, they go and they got those legs where you. Oh, there's the porn lady. Let me pull her up.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I think she's a news reporter in this one. I think, or maybe not.
No, she's on the ship. I think. Boy, she's been on the ship. Time. That's her right there.
There you go. She is.
Good for her. I don't know where she ended up. Hopefully good stuff.
She went back to the porn industry. I don't know where she's at currently.
Oh, did she?
But yeah, she made a little. She made an attempt. She had a couple little roles here and there, and good for her trying to get.
Yeah,
that system.
She can't help it if Mark Hamill's character, asked her for a handy behind the dump truck. Just kidding. That's terrible.
don't
I take
say,
it back. I take it back.
Don't say a thing like that.
I take it all back. You never heard it here. All right, moving on. Let's go to four. Four is interesting because four. Well, let's play a little of four.
There's been an undeclared war waged against us. Acts of terrorism, piracy, sabotage.
Sabotage.
Is it symptomatic of these transitional times, or is there something else at work here?
Do you see a strategy or design behind it?
Every time I connect the dots, I'm always guided back to our longtime allies in the border worlds.
Okay, so there's Malcolm
McDowell and Mark Hamill are back, and this time they're not in front of green screens. They're on sets with full motion video, and it was filmed in 35mm, so they didn't have to, deal with all that compression unless they wanted to.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of side actors you absolutely know this. This guy right here?
Yeah.
That's the dude from Lost.
Yeah.
Who has the secret codes in the hatch to get the thing done that does like the videos to tell you, here's what you need to know about the hatch deal. He's also in The Expanse. He's Major Baddie in The Expanse season 1 and 2. Can't think of his freaking name.
You would be better off watching Wing Commander 3 and 4 FMVs than watching the Wing Commander movie.
Yeah. I'm just saying. 100% agree with that. 100%.
Yeah.
But look at somebody. Oh, wait, there's another guy you guys totally know. Hold on. It's hard to narrow these down. But you know everyone in this. You've seen him in movies and television, and it's all fine.
What, $12 million budget this time around. Apparently the $4 million worked for the first one. They got enough money, so they kicked up the budget, and they got more actors and got real sets. They took away our cockpit and gave us some weird new HUD elements. The combat's probably a little bit better for it, probably, but it feels less immersive, like, yeah, all the way up until this point. You could even, like, in the first and second one, which is really cool, you could, like, you could get outside the cockpit, mm-hmm, and you could just, like, hit the function keys on the keyboard, and you could see from the side, from behind you. It was really interesting. I don't think the gameplay got that much better because of it, but maybe a little bit more. It might be worth playing.
There's Biff Tannen, and then there's this other guy I've seen in 100 TV shows. Like, everybody's in this. And I kind of respect it for it. That the other thing is, remember, Star Citizen is supposedly completely filmed and finished mocap for, including the return of Mark Hamill, but they've got the single player element of that thing that was promised years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, so Jason Scott Lee, is that who that was? Might have been.
Oh yeah, Jason Scott Lee, was that what that was?
It might have been. Yes, it was. Anyway,
probably was.
The they've already done this again for Star Citizen, but it isn't out.
Yeah, Mark Hamill. This is a totally different story, right?
Yeah. Well, Mark Hamill's in it, but it's not tied to this universe.
Right. Yeah, it's not tied. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they don't have the rights to it. EA still owns all that shit.
Oh, and they won't do anything with it. A bunch of buttholes EA is.
They are buttholes. I don't like them. All right, then things take a real dip with the game Wing Commander Prophecy, which I will now share with you, this garbage monkey horrible thing. All right? Enjoy this.
Makes the movie look good.
I agree. Here it is.
There goes the guidance system again. I need that working on the double. And tell O'Neill they have hangar rams number 2 and 7 back online. We got real problems here. Christ, doesn't anything work around here? Go. What's your damage, Flyboy?
Excuse me?
Did you trash your fighter or you just lost?
Oh my God. I hate it.
It's so bad. It's not even so bad that it's good.
No.
It's just bad. Not good. It's like I compared it to getting direct. I don't know if you guys remember direct to video stuff, but that's how it felt. It felt like, I don't know. It was definitely a step back in my opinion. I didn't play this one at all.
It's some of the worst. It's a step back in a lot of ways. I don't know that the gameplay they reintroduced more cockpit. But
yeah, I think
much.
They went back to a little bit to the earlier stuff. Yeah. And it may be okay on that part. I really didn't.
It's okay. The combat's okay. It reminds me of, what's the PlayStation game made by Psygnosis? It's called, Colony Wars. I don't know if you ever played Colony Wars, but the color scheme, and that was a great game.
I do like the bounciness of the flight stuff. Is there any way just to completely skip all the video, because I watched somebody play this and I was like, holy crap, there is way too much full motion video in this thing. If it's going to be this bad, I can't watch that much of it.
Yeah, but the gameplay's all right. It's okay.
Gameplay looks okay. I can't tell, right. But it looks pretty neat. I like the, feels very immersive.
Oh, I miss Colony Wars. I wish they'd have kept that going. Psygnosis got absorbed by Sony and they just quit making them. It bugs me.
Yeah, that's what happened to a lot of these types of games. It's like, oh, we'd like an opportunity to do something with that, and they just put it on the back burner, probably because they realized how expensive these types of games are to make. Once you actually, your property was probably fairly cheap, but then when you go, how much is the production? They go, oh no.
Yeah.
Space is expensive.
Now, it is worth mentioning that the game I played, the 3DO game, was essentially one with new graphics. And I didn't know that at the time. I was like, oh, look at this new thing that's so new, and there's never been anything like it before. And I didn't know.
I rock.
I didn't know. I didn't know this was the same game that I'd seen people playing on PC years ago. Right. But as you can see,
it's definitely an upgrade.
Oh, yeah. It's basically what we would today consider a remaster by today's standards. Right. And it had some audio, which I kind of enjoyed. So here's some of that.
Enter simulator. Talk to shot glass.
You met Maniac and Boss Man over there yet?
Maniac's a real lunatic. A good pilot, but way too erratic. He was just coming up when the flea bags put me out of commission.
It's that kind of stuff.
The flea bags. Everything has, by the way, 1 and 2 especially, they still nod to it in 3 and 4, but everybody has a nickname, because that was one of the things you did. In the first and second one is you gave your character, they usually had like a last name, like in the military, and then you'd have a nickname. Like, you just assume that's how that would be. So,
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good game, though. Nickname? It's fun. I mean, again, it's just a remaster of a game you already know, but
yeah,
I liked it for what it was.
It, yeah. You got the cockpit look. Is it sprites or 3D rendered? This still would have been sprites. 94.
Yeah, it's still sprites. 3DO wasn't great at doing much else 3D right. wise. They had some 3D stuff, but for the most part, those games were still sprite
games. We need to dig deep into 3DO one day because I know almost nothing about 3DO.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Stuff. Hell yeah. Why don't
Oh, we? Man. I tell you, those sprite landing in the ships. When you would go on missions and things, and like the first and second ones, when you would go on missions, or like if you had some kind of task you had to do, then you'd have to, the thing I dreaded the most, returning back to home base, because I'd have to land. And it would sometimes be really hard, especially in the first one. And I'm like, oh, this is the hardest thing I'm having to do here is to freaking guide this stupid ship into that stupid pixel ship that really doesn't have any three dimensions to it.
Yep. Those are, it's the good days, the good times.
Right.
Well, there you have it. That's that. Now, there's other stuff. There was special ops and secret missions. There was Wing Commander Academy. There was this privateer game, which is technically a spinoff.
We're not poo-pooing any of these things, by the way.
These are just
things that are going to be outside the scope. You've heard us talk already so much about Wing Commander. We just didn't have time to cover it all.
Yeah, just imagine more FMV, more cockpit shooting. You know,
One day we may get a chance to visit them.
We may. Who knows? Armada. Yeah. I do want to make a quick mention of Armada.
Yeah.
Wing Commander Armada was the first official game of the Wing Commander series to feature multiplayer.
Yes.
And that's a big deal.
Yes, 94, some multiplayer. Let's bring it on.
Yeah, nobody was doing that shiz in 94. Not too many anyway. I mean, Quake was a couple years away. Doom could do local.
Right.
So, you know, this was a big step in that direction. But basically, that's the entirety of why people played this was multiplayer.
Yeah. And it was 94, and it was basically still based on the earlier Wing Commander stuff, the 1 and 2. And so you said sprite graphics and that kind of stuff. I didn't get a chance to play this, but man, I would love to go back and visit it. Another game we've visited this year that I'm like, oh my God, I really need to complete Wing Commander because I really got sucked in to this lame ass story.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It's okay. In video games, it's a good story, I think. In film, and of course, the film did nothing like the games. The film is straight up garbage. That is a bad movie.
Right. We sacked it on Film Sack, another podcast me and Scott do.
Yeah.
But I don't remember anything about it. And I can't remember if it was because they were using all the hot young star actors from the time, like Freddie Prinze Jr. Was that the failing factor for me? I remember watching it and going, I can't get into it. But I don't remember. Now I got to go back and visit again. There was also an animated series I never got to see. The Community. We started this podcast talking about Community and social media stuff. And you might not have heard it because it was pre-show. But I think it's such a great community. These people, oh my God, if you want to see what all of the original box stuff looked like, you just go to this WCNews.com. There's a new vinyl coming out based on some of the great jazzy kind of music that you would hear in this game. In these different series, and it is just full of active people, and this kind of reminds me of how I used to feel about Stargate. Stargate, you can't just go anywhere and go, you watch that Stargate, but when you do find your Stargate people, you can have some long discussions, great discussions about how great everything is, even though it's stupid. It's like the Gauld. What?
Yeah,
that's a dumb name. Teal'c. Who is that guy with the weird? The emblem thing in his head. Just sit down and watch it. Is that MacGyver? Yeah. Sit down and just watch it. Trust me, it's good.
Yeah, it's good in that way that we like bad things.
Okay? Right. But it's good.
It's good. But it's bad.
But it's not for everybody.
But it's bad. But it's good.
But it's good.
Yeah. Keep it in mind. Everything will be fine. All right, time to play Guess Our Game.
Destroy it.
We are going to play audio from old games and then see if each other can guess what it is. Mine was slapped together very fast because I had to finish another show before I got here. So apologies.
I saw that. I saw you were rushing, but that's fine. That's fine.
Well, as long
so
as
it
you,
came out
gonna...
in the year 2600. So it was from when Wing Commander took place and the game was called 1981.
Yep. That's the game. Right. No, this is going to be too easy, but I did it anyway.
Is it Pitfall?
Yeah. So here's the game. 2600 is the game, or is the machine. It came out in 1991, or 81, rather. 81. Here is the sound from that game, and see if you can guess it.
Is it Defender?
Nope. You get three guesses. That's how we do it.
I mean, they all sound the same.
I know. That's why I did it.
Okay, so I'm just going to list. Defender, Missile Command, which we've covered here.
Oh, stop right there.
Is it Missile Command?
It is 100% Missile Command. Congratulations. There you go. Now, here's the thing about Missile Command. Missile Command, the giveaway is this sound here. Which is not like the arcade at all. Or this at the end. That thing, that's totally Missile Command. And I figured those two things would give it away.
I think Defender uses that first audio sound, too, whenever you get into, when you do the hyperspace at the top.
This thing?
I'm trying to remember.
For the 2600?
I'm trying to remember. It seems like it's somewhere in there. Maybe I'm getting it confused. But anyway, I was about to list off about 20 games that sounds exactly like on the Atari 2600.
I'm going to find this. So let's go Defender 26, because it wouldn't surprise me. They reused all their sounds all the time.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's play that. Defender Atari 2600. Let me get a little audio in here. Pretty close.
Yeah.
A little more squeegee, a little more... Whatever that is, whatever the word is, I can't say.
more Atari, more 2600-y.
Yeah, that sound chip was capable of like three farts and a noise, and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to play yours now and see if I can figure it out. What year are we talking here?
It was the year 1987, so we stayed in the 80s this time around because I felt like we'd been doing too many 90s. You must have felt the same thing, so I kind of went 87.
Yeah.
But it was for the NES, and I'll just tell you this. Well, a lot of people have asked us to do this one. So
let's see if it's doable by the doing of the does doing. Here it is. NES, I assume, right? Sounds like NES.
No, NES. NES.
Oh, what did I say? I said
you
NES.
Said did you I thought, oh, I thought SNES. I did. Say, right. Maybe you said
there's
NES.
A lot of noise SNES. Going on today.
I said, actually, it was 89 when it came out in the U.S. I apologize. It wasn't 87 when it came out, but 89, not that it really matters.
No, I like it. Really, this is better than not remembering what game you had, so this is good.
Right. That was the Japanese release date. I usually try to give it the North American release date. This is a Hudson Soft.
Okay. This isn't Kid Icarus, is it?
No. Is that any good?
I feel like the funeral on this part. I don't know.
I am shocked that the chat room has not shouted it out. As many of the chat room that anytime we get anywhere near daggers and wing boots, that they guess it.
Daggers and wing boots.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like Kid Icarus. No.
Right. Monsters, they await you.
I don't know. I don't know what this is.
Fact Santa do. Our good friend finally did come to town for us. Gam.
Gam?
Gam got us in there. Oh. Fact Santa do is the name.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't say less of it. Yeah.
I thought you said that was their name was the name of the game, and Gam was the name of the...
No, Gammon's... I can't say the name in the chat room. Got it, though. Yeah, it was definitely... Fax Xanadu.
I never played this.
Fax, like a fax machine, F-A-X.
Yeah.
And a do.
What is this about? What do you do in it?
It is one of those action role-playing games from Hudson Soft. And you you control your fax Xanadu. And you, it's an unnamed wonder who returns home. Guess what? So there you go. Gameplay, you just side-scrolling.
So you're side-scrolling, jumping, and you control fax Xanadu.
It's classified as a Metroidvania, one of the earlier Metroidvanias you saw. So yeah, just a side-scrolling.
Do you have a weapon type. For fighting? I love this dialogue. You have a weapon? Oh, let's hear what this guy says. All right, hold on. He says, "Hello, I sell tools. What would you like? What would you like? Hold on.
What would you like?
Hand dagger, red potion, elixir. Okay. Thank you for shopping." This is great.
Thanks. Thank you for the shopping, please.
Hello, I sell tools. That's amazing. All right. Well done. You beat me this week. Good job. I'm impressed.
I think we, yeah. We didn't put what we're going to do next week, because we usually get a chance to talk about it before we go on the air, but we didn't get to because doing DTNS. And I was watching the Nintendo Direct, which, by the way, if you haven't heard already, they're bringing the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games to the Nintendo Switch Online. And I'm kind of thinking maybe that maybe we do maybe some Game Boy love next week. Maybe we are, or Advance. We just like pick maybe our top couple of Game Boy games or something, or what do you think? You have something else in mind? Do you have some recommends from people who are sending in recommendations like we had this week? We did this one for Wing Commander, because last week, get it pulled up here, it was recommended by a listener, and that listener's name was me stalling for more time, Paul from the UK. Yeah. But Paul wasn't the only person who recommended Wing Commander, but he was the last one.
No, we got all kinds of recommendations for it. I don't know. I don't know what our best thing is. The fact that they announced that does make me think we could poke in there a little bit.
I think we need to poke in there a little bit because, yeah, we got, you can even jump forward if you wanted to. And if we wanted to cover, like, did we ever cover the Prime series proper? I know we did Metroid, but we didn't cover the Prime series.
We discussed Prime, the Prime series, but I don't think we got too deep into it. There was a lot of argument then from listeners that it wasn't old enough, but
this is GameCube. That's not retro. I'm like, GameCube, dude. Yeah. GameCube.
It's pretty
Listen
old.
Listen to the words you're saying right now.
It's 20 years old now. 20 years, a long effing time. For a console. 20 years. That's a long time.
It's GameCube, man. Pitfall, it's not retro.
Look, some kid died. Some kid was born the week that game came out, and he is 22 years old now. He drinks. He's got better insurance. He's got a job. He finished college. Like, think about that.
He's walking around telling other people. It's like, oh, man, when I was like 5.
Yeah,
because that's with LBO. Like, there's like, okay, so there's actually probably like a 27-year-old, 28, almost a 30-year-old, probably a 30-year-old going, oh, man, when I was 6 and 7, my dad let me play Metroid Prime. That's right. That's right. Somebody in their 30s right now is walking around being reminiscent about their, you know, their 2 and 3 and 4 year old.
Here's what we'll do. We'll keep them on the edge and on the hook until we figure it out. You and I will come up with a thing and then we'll tell them. All right. So if we decide to go, people always like anything before 2000 is retro. Yeah. But it's just arbitrary number picking.
And like I said, once I've said it and I've said it 100 times before, we don't do necessarily retro games here. We do play retro games, which is anything that we classify between 70s, 80s, 90s, and a little bit into the
2000s. A little bit into the 2000s, yeah.
Yeah, if it was made in 2005, but it has the spirit of a game from 98, why would we not talk about that 2005 Game Boy Advance game that is basically based off a system that was running in 1998.
Right. I mean, plus the Game Boy Advance, nobody looks at those and says those aren't retro. Of course they feel retro. They're basically a Super NES with slightly better sound. Like, that's really what it is. I don't know. We got to think. We'll think about it. We'll come back to you. Okay. We'll let you know what next week is sometime during the week. All right.
We should have called this the Scott and Brian rant this week episode. Yeah,
you guys, if you haven't heard our Patreon pre-show, boy, howdy, did I go off. You might enjoy it. I don't know. Maybe you won't. But I do want to talk about these texts we got. We got a couple of them from listeners. These came to us at 801-471-0462. Bill Edwardson's on Patreon says, listening to Play Retro Aliens episode, and you mentioned Bill Paxton's Game Over being used in different games. There was an Amiga car game. I think it was maybe Need for Speed. When you lost, his voice came up and said, Game Over, man, Game Over, unquote. Do either of you remember this? Thanks for all the content and pre-show antics. And again, it's Bill. Bill, I do not remember that at all. And if it was
Speed, but now I want to find it. And Need for Speed would not be a bad pick for some future retro gaming. Because
didn't we do that? I thought we did Need for Speed, didn't we?
No, we didn't do Need for Speed. But you know, one of my favorite Need for Speeds, though, is on the GameCube for the Underground. But I'm just saying, I won't say that.
Yeah, that one. See, that one feels wrong to me for some reason, but I don't know. I think of it as more modern than Metroid.
Yeah, Prime. And we joke a little bit, but there are some things that we consider. One of the reasons why we pick retro games is because most retro games do not have. We're a clip show. Mm-hmm. We're trying to entertain you. We're trying to entertain your imagination as you're driving and going places. with our antics and as well as sound clips. And when you start getting into the era where we started having more multimedia, you start having real artists like Need for Speed Underground, and those kind of games would be problematic because they do have a lot of like music, popular music of the time that would get copyright strikes.
But really, we're just nostalgic for stuff, and you may or may not find a game like that nostalgic. You may not find anything post 2600 nostalgic because you're older or whatever. Like, we're going to pick stuff that's interesting to us. How about that? That's
If it's not Pong, it's not retro.
Yeah, forget it. Pong.
Fing.
When I was a kid, I had the micro box unit deal.
I had to build my own Pong machine.
I used a stick and two stones to get a controller working. Anyway,
we had two TVs, and I threw a rock at one, and my brother threw a rock at the other. Yep. And that's how we played Pong.
That was Pong. Pong the old way. And if you lost an eye, well, them's the breaks. All right, here's another one from, didn't get a name. No, we did, Ryan. He says, Dunaway did it. He did it.
We did it.
He says, on the Aliens episode, guess my game, Brian played Star Tropics. Yes. It was one of my favorites growing up, and I've been meaning to write in and suggesting it. Such great music on the tough and on that tough game. When I was a kid, I played Guess My Game with friends, and they never guessed Star. Meaning to write in suggesting it. Such great music on that tough game. Why does it say the same thing twice? I don't know. When I was a kid,
maybe
I played
he was
that
excited about it.
Oh, he said it three times. Hold on. Oh,
good. Maybe you get excited sometimes and you got to repeat yourself.
He does say, don't feel bad, Scott. Thank you for so much of the continued nostalgia, Ryan. For some reason, his message came in all effed. I don't know why. I don't think it's him. I think the text was borked.
Text garbled.
Yep. But don't worry. I'll try not to burgle. I'll try not to burgle your text next week when you guys send in more of them.
Burgle.
And you can, by the way, you can do voicemails. We'd love to have those here. 801-471-0462. That's voicemails or text. Either one work. And if you'd rather email us, you can do it at playretroshow@gmail.com. Like we said, we'll pipe in and let you know what we're doing next week during the week, okay?
Yeah, we'll definitely let you know on the Play Retro on Twitter, or we'll let you know in the Discord server, let you know there as well. And we'll just blast it out everywhere. I'll yell it as loud as possible.
Yes, indeed. Listen to that. Monkey Banana says, I'm just basically here to hear Brian and Scott talk because they're wonderful to listen to regardless of content. Monkey Bananas. You're a good dude. I already liked you, but now I really like you.
But now I love you.
Now I have feelings. I can't explain. Yeah. I don't know what to do. Mm. Oh, Monkey Bananas.
Oh, Toe Jam and Earl.
Ooh. Anyway, that's next week.
Banana Prince. What is that?
Ooh. Between now and then, though, I would really like it if you people at home would play retro games and then tell us about them. All right? So go play something retro, and we'll see you next week.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Speak of your plans, not of your toys.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.